Morning, church. Morning, SB. And good morning also those who are listening online. Let's start in prayer. Father, we bless you, we honor you, we glorify you, we exalt your holy name. You alone are God. You're so faithful. You're so wonderful. You're awesome. You're mighty, almighty God. You're the beginning and the end. You're all the Alpha and the Omega. You are our rock of ages, our firm foundation. You are our Savior, our mighty Creator. And we bless you, we honor you as a church today, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for just leading us today again with this devotion. May you open our eyes and understanding, spiritual understanding, to the truth that you are going to reveal to us today. Prepare our heart to be a good soil, Lord God. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let's open our Bible to Matthew chapter 25. Let's read from verse 1 to 13. Matthew chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom, come to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But a wise answered, saying, Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealer and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore for you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Bless the reading of the Word of God. Amen. Probably this text or these scriptures you've been reading, and you already know the text or the meaning of it. But you know, I also read this one several times and always associated with the coming, second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And truly it is the whole picture of it that the Lord are giving this message to his disciples to really understand his coming. But there's something about marriage, you know, that the Lord Jesus always uses this in his teaching. And we know as well that in John chapter 2, the Lord Jesus uses miracles. First miracles in Cana, where he turned the water, the natural water, into wine, teaching his disciples and showing his disciples that truly he's God, he is the one who is provider, and he can do miracles turning from natural water into a wine, and he's God that is providing. And also uses in the Matthew chapter 22 with the parable of the wedding banquet, wherein the Lord He's teaching, sharing this parable also to his people around him and his disciples, that the kingdom of God is just like a wedding banquet, that, you know, he's invited people, he's now, the banquet is ready, he's now calling all those invited, but those all invited rejected, they just go in their own way, and then they did not come, and then even the father of the bridegroom sent two servants, and eventually the second servants, they killed it. And then the father of the bridegroom had sent forth an army, and then eventually killed them. And then the father of the bridegroom said that, okay, go into the streets and invite those who wants to come. And eventually this also the Lord Jesus Christ is telling and showing and teaching them that those who are called and they have rejected, and now this blessing of this grace had been also extended to those who are far afar, which is also pertaining to the people of Israel in Romans chapter 11, that God is, they rejected God. God made them, blind in their eyes. They made them stupor in order that this grace will be extended to the Gentiles. And that is all about the parable of the wedding banquet. And at the same time, in Revelation chapter 19, Jesus or John, the beloved also, the Lord give him this a vision as well, that a parable of the wedding of the Lamb. And as well, in this John 25, the Lord Jesus used this parable also in order to explain his coming. You know, the Father God always looked or introduced or referred himself as the husband of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 4, 6, and Jesus pictured himself here as also in what we have read as the bridegroom of the church. So time and time again, Jesus used this marriage to explain and to unveil truth with regards to the kingdom. Now let's try to look on what is the Jewish marriage custom. There are several major steps before the final wedding will take place in the biblical time of marriage. First is there is this betrothal, just like what happened to Joseph and Mary. They are betrothed to Joseph, but eventually they cannot still come together. You know, first is the bridegroom or the prospective bridegroom always take the initiative to go or travel from his father's house to the home of the prospective bride. So it is the bridegroom initiated the action, and he has to travel from his father, going to the house of the prospective wife. And from there, this bridegroom will negotiate to the father of the bridesmaid to determine the price. You know, remember when the servant of Abraham sent, I think it's Eleazar, sent to find a wife for Isaac, and then when he found it, and then he gave gifts to the parents of Rebecca. So that's the picture of it. And then he must pay and purchase his bride. Once the bridegroom paid and purchased the price, the marriage covenant was thereby established. And the young man and woman were regarded to be husband and wife. So after that, you know, payment, and they have this agreement of the prices, they already regarded as a husband and wife, that we call betrothal, but they cannot, you know, come yet in one roof. And the young man and woman were regarded to be husband and wife. From that moment on, the bride was declared to be consecrated or sanctified and set apart exclusively for her bridegroom. So after that covenant, the bride were already set apart and considered also marriage and already with exclusively for her bridegroom. And as a symbol of the covenant relationship that had been established, the groom and the bride would drink from a cup of a wine over which a betrothal benediction had been pronounced. So they were going to seal it with drinking together in a cup of a wine, and then the betrothal benediction had been pronounced. Then after the marriage covenant or the betrothal had been established, the groom would leave the home of the bride and return to his father's house. There he would remain separate from his bride for a period. Others said 12 months, but the other said that they did not pertain any dates. Period of time, this period of separation afforded the bride to prepare his dress and prepare himself for the wedding. At the same time, the bridegroom will occupy himself preparing for the place after the the wedding or the place for her, for him, and for his bride. Then, at the end of the period of separation, the groom would come and take his bride to live with him. The taking of the bride usually took place at night. That's why the one that we read in the parable of chapter 25 is the bridegroom arrived at night. So wedding at the biblical times always at night. The groom and the best man in other male's court will leave the groom's father's house and conduct a torchlight procession to the home of the bride, although the bride were expecting her groom to come for her. She did not know the exact time of his coming. As a result, the groom's arrival will be preceded by a shout. That's like what we have read in chapter 25. This shout will forewarn the bride to be prepared for the coming groom. There are more preparation. There are more things that they need to prepare after the wedding. They have to go back to the father's house, and then the father's groom, there they're going to celebrate for wedding feast for 7 days. But let's examine the analogy of this wedding before we coming on the application of what we have read in chapter 25. Now, in the same manner, the Jewish bridegroom came to the bride home of the purpose of obtaining through the establishment of marriage covenant. So Jesus came on earth as well for the purpose of obtaining the church, the establishment of a covenant. Jesus are using this marriage in order also to show what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to fulfill when he comes and taking his bride. So Jesus also left his father's house in heaven to went to the bride's house, which is this earth, wherein the church is located or living for the meantime, in order to have and to establish this marriage covenant. And on the same night in which Jesus made his promise in John 14, he instituted communion. And he passed the cup of wine to his disciple and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." The same as the cup of the bridesmaid and the bridegroom drinking to seal in the wedding covenant. At the same thing, the Lord Jesus Christ made this covenant. It is not, now it is by wine, but it is the shedding of his blood and into the communion. Covenant through the shedding of his blood on the cross. Parallel to the custom of the Jewish groom paying with his own, paying a price to purchase his bride, Jesus' price to purchase his bride, the church, the price he paid was his blood. It was because of this purchase price that Paul wrote the following to the member of the church: "Know you not that you are not your own, for you are though with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." So we can see this, the parallelism, the wedding custom, and how the Lord Jesus Christ also, make this wedding covenant with church, which is the bride, and purchase with his blood and seal it with this communion of cup of the, which is the Lord instituted as well. With the Jewish bride being declared to be sanctified or set apart exclusively for his groom once the marriage covenant was established, the church had been declared sanctified or set apart exclusive for Christ. We are now, the church have been betrothed. We have been received the covenant marriage in Christ by purchasing by his blood. We are now sanctified and separated for Christ. In the same way, the cup of the wine serves as a symbol of the marriage covenant through which the Jewish groom obtained his bride. To the cup of the communion serves as the symbol of the covenant through which Christ obtained. Just as the Jewish groom left the home of the bride and returned to his father's house after the marriage covenant had been established, so Jesus left the earth, the home of the church, and returned to his father's house in heaven. after he established the new covenant and the reason for that. This is when the Lord Jesus Christ, after his death and resurrected, and goes back to the Father's house in heaven. Corresponding to this period of separates between the Jewish groom and bride, Christ has remained separate physically over 2,000 years right now. The church is now living in the period of separation. Just like, you know, the bridesmaids are waiting the coming of the bridegroom for her to take and be married and bring it to his home. In the same manner as a Jewish groom came to take his bride to live with him at the end of the period of separation, so Christ will come to take his church, live with him at the end of his period and separation. In John 14:3, separation from the church. Just as taking of the Jewish bride was accomplished by procession of the groom and make escort from the groom father's house to the home of the bride, so taking the church will be accomplished by a procession of Christ, an angelic escort from Christ, Father's house in heaven, and to the home of the church. With the Jewish bride not knowing the exact time of the groom's coming for her, the church does not know the exact time of Christ's coming for her. Can you see the parallelism, church? It's so wonderful and so eye-opener how the Lord uses this wedding in order also to the Lord revealing the parallelism of his coming. In the same way, the Jewish groom arrival was preceded with a shout. So Christ's arrival to the church will be preceded by a shout in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. So we know that in the text and what we read in the custom is somewhat can find in chapter 25 of Matthew, that the coming of the bridegroom, there's no definite exact time where he's going to get, you know, the bride to get married. And when I'm reading this parable, something that struck me as well, which is written in verse 3 of chapter 25. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. All the while, when I'm reading these passages and I try to look on several version of the Bible, majority of it has these foolish virgins, the five foolish virgins, they did not took oil. Others, some of it, they said they have some few oil. But even in the King James Version, New King James Version, they said they took no oil. You know, the church, this kind of lump has been, you know, there's a small bottle of it sometimes, and then there's a rug that is connected on the top going to the bottom, which this oil should be the one that will sustain the fire on that lump. Now, yes, if there's a rug, they can light it up a bit for a few minutes, but eventually because there is no oil on it, then eventually it will die down. And that's why when this foolish virgin asked, give us some of your oil, because the five wise virgin put oil under lamp that will, that's why they said that, no, our oil is not enough for us, this is only enough for me. So meaning there are people that they fall short in the preparation of the coming of Christ. We should not only look on the coming of Christ, but we should fulfill what the Master are told us to do in Matthew 28, verse 19. The Great Commission. The whole parable, the Lord Jesus Christ is explaining to the disciple how they should prepare for the coming of Christ. He gave four parables parables in order for the disciple to fully grasp this preparation of his coming. It started in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 and 44. the good and the wicked servant. Also in Matthew 24, verse 45 to 51, the homeowner and the thief in Matthew 24, 40 to 44, the good and the wicked servant in Matthew 24, 45 to 51, the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, 1 to 13, and the parable of the talents, which all pertaining to the preparation of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in pertaining to the oil, it means that everyone in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, individually, we're going to meet Him. It cannot be said that, okay, come with me and let's meet the Lord Jesus Christ. No. At the end time, individual Christians, true believer of Christ, will going to meet Him personally. And only of those who remain and true faithful believers of Christ will be saved. And just like what he said, that when this foolish virgin came after buying, and then the door was closed. It's also said that it is only the true Christian believer that will remain at the end will be saved. That's why we also say, we also learn and see in verse 12, in verse 13, that watch therefore, for you know neither day nor the hour. This, the whole point of this teaching, of this parable of the 10 virgins, is about the preparedness. It is a warning to those who are not living seriously on their Christian life. Those who are, in and off, in and then out, and then Christian for this month and not Christian for this month. This is a warning to them that God Himself is going to come and He's going to fulfill this promise that we should be ready. This is also a reminder for us to keep on, doing what the Lord, our Master Jesus Christ, has told us to do. Just like in the parables of the talents from verse 14 onwards. That he said that when he came, that he will see the church that they are faithful doing what the masters are gave them to do. And it's also a great and wonderful encouragement to those who are truly following and obeying and doing what God or masters told us to do, that God will come back and He bring reward from with Him to give to His church. Now we know that we are the bride of Christ. And He said in chapter 14 that He goes to prepare a place for us. And He said He will come back. Church, this is a great promise, and this is a living hope that we have, that we are the bridegroom. We are the bride of Christ, that He will come back and He will take us. That even now, Jesus are preparing a place for us in heaven. Amen? Amen. So, as I invite Pinay to lead us in worship, Let's look on this as a believers in Christ as a good and wonderful encouragement to us. Keep oil in our Christian life. Oil signifies the Holy Spirit. This body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And when this temple are used not to glorify God, it will grieve and quench, and the Holy Spirit will not be able to manifest Himself, because He cannot live in a simple, filled, wicked temple. Let's allow the Holy Spirit, as we continue to obey and follow and to be faithful what the masters told us to do, so that when He come, those who are faithful will hear. Come, faithful servants, enter to the joy of your Master. It is a living hope for us, those who remain faithful. But it is a great warning to those who are not taking heed and obey and follow what the masters has told them to do while He is away. Let's worship Him.
Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let You go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You send my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love You. I need You. Though my world may fall, I'll never let You go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship You until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let You go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You send my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love You. I need You. Though my world may fall, I'll never let You go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship You until the very end. I love You. I love You. I need You. Though my world may fall, I'll never let You go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship You until the very end. Worship You, my Lord, till the very end. Worship You, my Lord, friend, I will worship You until the very end.
God. I worship you until the very end. Hallelujah. I worship you until the very end. Yes, Father, we thank you, Lord God. You said in Philippians 4:13, God, that I can do all things through Him that gave me strength. That only to you alone that we can remain standing until the very end. So we thank you, Father God, for your promises. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be obedient. Help us, Lord God, to be aware that the Holy Spirit is living in us, in our heart. That will He's the one that is continued giving us oil to go, strengthening us, leading us, and guiding us as we remain consecrated and sanctified, set apart for our Lord Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, and that when He comes, we are just like the five wise virgin, that we could meet you, Lord God, in the air. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's come to our prayer, community prayer. Let's lift up those who are in our community that is having cancer and undergoing chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let us pray. So also lift up those who are having illness and yet needed the words of salvation, that God uses this event in their life, that they will be called from darkness into His marvelous light, that when they hear the goodness of God, the gospel, they will not harden their heart, but receive Christ in their life. And also pray for healing of the illnesses. Let us pray. Also lift up those who are suffering infirmities. Pray for God's healing arm to lay upon them and bring miracles. Whatever part of their body is suffering, Word of God said His promises, by His stripes we were healed. So let's pray in faith that God will bring healing to every infirmities of their body. Let's pray. So also lift up those who are affected by COVID, and also those who are frontline medical workers. Pray for God's healing. Pray for God's protection by the blood of Jesus to cover them, even their families, that, you know, truly God will going to just remove and kill these viruses and will restore fully their bodies. Let's pray. Also pray for those looking for job. Pray for God's provision, God's open door for the job for our brother. And pray also for the faith to continue to rise in his heart, trusting the Lord that in his perfect timing, God is always in perfect timing to bring this right job for him. Let us pray. Also lift up this our mission focus for the day. Pray for Pastor Hangsu and his family and his congregation, Pastor Ricky and his family and congregation, and the Chang's family and the church in China. Let's lift them up. Also lift up our board. Pray for God to continue to speak to them corporately and individually. Pray that God continue to direct their step. For the word of God said, the step of a righteous is ordered by God. Pray for the wisdom. Pray that their heart and mind is in tune to the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Pray for the guard to guard their heart and mind as well, as they continue to be calm, and you know, God will give them wisdom in every decisions they make. Pray also for the covering and protection for them and their family. Let's pray. Thank you. also lift up our fellowship, young adults, single life workshop, men's ministry, Monday lunchtime prayer, Pure Desire women's ministry, Tuesday lunchtime prayer, betrayal and beyond, and support group and other fellowship. Let's pray God that God will continue to use this fellowship to glorify His name, for the equipping of the saints, to reaching out to bring more soul in the kingdom, and love to continue share among the brethren. Let's pray. SP 2.0, Building Resources, Benefactor, and Vision Fund. Let us pray. Also lift up those pregnant mom in our communities. Pray for Dion, Haina, and others. Pray for God's covering, protection by the blood of Jesus for the mom and the baby. Thank you for the wonderful and great arms of God that is forming those babies in the mother's womb. Pray also for the love to continue of the love for the parents, Lord God, continue flourish, and the joy and expectation of the coming of this wonderful blessing that God gave to them. Let's lift them up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you, Lord God. We honor you. Thank you, God, for your promises. You are a promise keeper and you are a promise doer. Thank you, God, for another day of living your promises and walking in your promises. And just bless us today, Lord God, as we go on our respective activities today. Make us and use us as a light and salt, Lord God. And let you thank you for giving us oil, O Lord God, and keep us burning for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless church and see you again tomorrow.